They're great.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
This has been a very harrowing experience for him. He's been in custody for 3 days. Just wants to get
an emotional time. It's an emotional time.
Oh, let me set this up. This is from the Jimmy Kimmel Show. This is one of Jimmy Kimmel's guys who's giving OJ's lawyer a hard time.
Okay.
As they're leaving court yesterday. Mm-hmm.
This has been a very harrowing experience for him. He's been in custody for 3 days. Just wants to get
an emotional time. It's an emotional time. Is your client innocent or not guilty?
I'm not sure there's a difference in the eyes of the law.
He's both, dude. He's innocent and not guilty. Thank you.
My only focus up till this point in time has been securing Mr. Simpson's release from
Nice work, dude. Up high.
Thank you, guys.
Yes, right here. Come on. Thank you.
So to hear these other lawyers come out and say they're representing O.J. Simpson, quite frankly, set me off like a rocket ship.
When
the reason I'm so upset about it is because you all knew who his lawyer was.
This guy right here.
My goal is to have O.J. treated like every other client in my firm and Gabe's firm. That's the goal. I'm telling you. All right. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Joe Pesci. No more questions. No more questions.
I think they work well together. I really do. I can see them taking that act on the road.
Was it me?
No. I have no idea what that was about.
Broadcasting from a zone of fecality, Don and Mike.
I'm guessing it was a visual.
I'm not quite sure. What was
Robbie,
going on there?
What was that?
It was sort of visual, but there was a couple funny things in it, like when he says, we want to treat him like any other client, and
right.
This guy is standing right next to him dressed like a moron, saying, right on, up high. I mean,
I heard that.
Uh-huh. So is this a guy that's there at the actual press conference?
Like, is he like the Larry Bud Melman of Jimmy Kimmel
they
show?
They first found him outside the Michael Jackson hearing,
right.
And then he was at the Paris, and he shows up, and he had a hat on. I think it said something like, being famous is cool.
Okay.
So, I mean, right.
So he's heckling the lawyer.
Yeah. Target,
right.
Target.
Danger
says,
boy. And then what you're hearing, the laughing in the back, is the studio audience of the
right.
show that's played on.
Right. Okay. Good for the radio. Anyway. About the OJ thing.
Yes.
I was watching some of the coverage last night, and I'm late to the party. I guess I don't watch Entertainment Tonight enough to know, or whatever show Marcia Clark is on these days, the prosecutor. But, my God, she has hit the wall so hard. That hair, the platinum blonde hair, and the two Botoxed face, and it looks like she's been on Mars and she's not been allowed to eat for months.
Who looks worse, Barry Manilow or Marcia Clark? Or is it a tie? It can be a tie. Tie goes to the runner.
Who looks better?
You know, like, that is incredibly astute. You could almost put the two of them together.
Right.
If you dyed her hair. She could be him.
The skin that's totally wax-like.
And I was thinking back to the OJ thing, and they keep saying it was, and it's a fact, it was, what, 13 years ago?
Right. God, it doesn't seem that long.
No, it doesn't. And
wow.
And I got to look at Marcia Clark, and I was thinking, I used to really have the sweaty balls for her.
I had the hots for Ito. Always had the hots for Ito.
There you go, Michael Anthony. Hold on just a second. Joining us right here. Is Michael Anthony.
Michael, thank you for coming on the show.
Hey, what's going on?
What's Michael going on Anthony. With you, dude?
I just call in, and the first thing I hear, they put me on hold, or I'm ready, or whatever. I hear something about sweaty balls. What's going on?
Yes, Marcia Clark.
Or maybe I shouldn't want to. I don't want to know what's going on.
No, Marcia Clark, that the chick that prosecuted O.J., way back 13 years ago, she used to give me sweaty balls. I used to think she was pretty hot. I saw her on TV last night. Somebody hit her with the ugly stick times 1,000.
Very, very sad.
Oh, well, see, some people don't age gracefully, you know, not as well as others.
Not you rockers. You rockers are timeless. You're ageless. You do not, I mean, you take the magic pill. You do not age.
Well,
let's get to let's get to the bottom of this right
okay.
now.
What are we getting to the bottom of here?
Of Van Halen, I would have to say, if I was ranking my all-time top five bands, you got them all. You got Beatles. You got Stones. I got to put Van Halen, Led Zeppelin, Van Halen.
Van Halen's in there.
In my top five.
Right.
Swear to God. What a great bass guitarist you are. just standing there, just solid as a rock, keeping that beat, bum, 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 bum.
And you know, you
hey,
know,
well,
you,
I do what I can, you know?
And when everything's going on, when and because there's so, over the years, so much controversy, this story, that story, Michael Anthony, you don't, do you stay out of that fray? Are you in the middle of that fray? Do you not want to be involved in anything that's going, or do you just play your music and cruise, or do you have a lot to, are you in the middle of all this stuff
that goes on in the band?
I'm curious about that.
There comes a time when it's like there are so many people, so many cooks, this and that, that I almost feel like it's my place just to try to do my gig and do it as good as I can and anchor it down and you know, and especially after all these years now, fine, bring on the drama, no problem, you know?
He dropped the S-bomb, it's okay.
But now it's like, you know, I want to play and have fun, have a good time, and leave all the drama, you know, to
okay,
the
well
other
then,
people.
If we could just talk about the drama for a second.
All right, just for a second.
Hold on, and I'll give you an easy one. From someone,
it's going to be all over the internet. People are going to go, here we go, here's Michael Anthony going again.
From someone who's a fan of Van Halen, fan of Van Halen, of all of the incarnations.
Okay.
Why is it so goddamn tough for you, Eddie, Alex, Sammy, and David to get together and just stand on the stage and do your goddamn songs?
You know what? If I knew what the problem was, then I'd probably know how to solve it.
All right, then the last...
And unfortunately, you know, and actually Sammy mentioned this too. You know, we've talked about this, and he's even said in the past, he said, hey, you know, that'd be... I think the greatest show in the world would be get Dave and myself and do both those versions of Van Halen and
kidding?
Put on the best show that, you know... And, you know, Dave right there, I don't know if Dave would want to share the stage with anybody. I mean, you know.
Well, okay, well, then.
Well, it's well known, the you know, we had Sammy Vec when they were touring, when Dave and Sammy
okay,
were
so
touring.
Then you, so then you know how some of that goes.
Yeah, that, I mean, that, I mean, you got separate separate sides of the stage backstage and that whole crap that went on. I mean, those two guys had,
well, Michael,
had a little issue.
I guess the point I was making to you is that you guys are a band, a lot of people. God damn, I love Van Halen. I mean, I love the 1984 album. You want to talk about an album that changed?
Hey, so do I. I love all of it.
So I, as a fan, want this to happen. And then the other thing I have to ask you that I read about is that you're pissed at Eddie because Eddie wanted to replace you with Wolfgang. Is that true?
That I'm pissed?
Yeah.
You know what? On one hand, that's great if... You know, he's got his son. He wants to play with his son. That's great. Now, whatever, you know, because I've gone out and played with Hagar in the past or whatever. I mean, whatever the reason is, you know, I wasn't called or invited or however you want to put it, you know, to do this tour or whatever. And, you know, I'm here. I'm ready to go. And
do you talk, Mike? I just wonder, because obviously you do stay out of the fray. You do the gig. And, you know, when you're playing with Sammy or you're playing with anybody else, you know, you're a working musician. You're still making the music.
Mm-hmm.
That's your living. Have you talked to anybody else in the business that has any advice for how maybe you get everybody together? Or is there a way of making peace between some of these factions? I mean, because you do have, you got Eddie, you got David, you got Eddie, you've got David Lee Roth and Sammy Hagar. A lot of these guys that are at swords points a little bit. And, you know, is there any way of making peace?
Oh, my God. Well,
tough question, I know. I mean, really, and probably a question you can't answer.
These are some of those questions that'll probably never get answered. You know, when Gary Cherone joined the band, we actually saw one of these guys. I forget the guy's name, but it's one of these guys that comes in. Like one guy did for Aerosmith and get the. And we actually met with one of these guys. It was Dallas Taylor, actually, is his name. He used to play with Crosby, Stills, and Nash. He was their drummer, I believe.
He dropped the S-bomb
again.
He
went through a whole ordeal himself, and he became one of these guys that, like, you know, like a counselor. And we tried to work stuff out like that, but oh my God!
Like an intervention.
Yeah, kind of like an intervention, but to keep things open and between everybody, so there aren't any secrets about anything. And you know, everyone's like going, "Hey, well, you know, screw that guy; he's doing this to me and that." And you know, but for whatever reason, I don't know. I mean, you know, I hate to use the worn out phrase, "Why can't we all just get along?"
Yeah.
But you know,
yeah. But it sounds like you feel that. It sounds like you feel that in your heart.
Oh, I do. You know, because. The music is the important thing. I mean, I love going out and playing the music, and that's why I still do it. You know, I don't need to do it if I didn't want to and if I didn't love doing it.
How cool was it the first time that you went on that Peter Pan thing and that they lowered you down on the string and you're playing your Jack Daniel's guitar in Panama?
That was for the video.
Yeah.
I was, you know what? It was like, hey, who's going to try this thing out, man? This thing doesn't look too cool. Hey, let's have Mike do it. You know, so kind of like by default, I was the first guy to try it out, you know, and then, you know, it's like after I gave it the okay, then everybody else was all, oh, yeah, man, this is great.
How much of a daily kind of contact or even weekly, monthly, whatever, how much contact are you in with other members of the band? Do you talk frequently?
You know what? Eddie, I haven't spoken to Eddie since we finished the 2004 tour.
Wow.
And only because that tour, it started out with the best of intentions, but it did not really end with peace and love between everybody in the band. And I'm not going to point fingers or, you know.
Well, you don't have to point fingers because it's pretty well known what Eddie was dealing with. I saw a recent picture of Eddie where he looked pretty damn good and was wondering whether he was straightening up and flying right now.
I thought he kind of looked like Don Imus.
I don't know. I mean, I hope that you know, whatever, you know, problems he did have in the past and whatever, that, you know, he's got everything straightened out, you know, just as a human being. But, you know, that tour should have still been going on right now, you know. And unfortunately, after 80 shows, we couldn't continue with it.
All right, well, dude, if we could talk about some of your songs for a second, like on, I don't know which album, it's OU812, Pound Cake. God, I love Pound Cake.
Great song.
On that song that starts with a
power drill.
That was the power drill. And you know what, Eddie, how that came about, he was working on something on his guitar. Like, he's always messing with something in the studio. And he had this drill out that he'd been working with and just goofing around. We were just, you know, working up the song and just jamming it. He holds it up to the guitar and starts going holding it over the pickup. And it's like, oh, yeah, that's funny, man. That sounds great. That sounds badass. And he did it, like, before we started playing the song. And it stuck.
Oh, I love to hear that stuff, you know, that happens like that.
Don't you?
You know what? And that's how, with Van Halen, that's how most of that stuff happens. You know, just kind of like with everybody screwing off in the studio and doing whatever, because there's very little bit that's all really planned out. You know, the best, we've had always figured the best formula was to just let it go and then listen back to it later and see what we got.
And I've got to ask you again about Jump, about the album and about the song. I remember when the song came out, when rock stations, AOR stations, would play it, people would call in and say, oh, my God, that's disco. And it wasn't disco. And it was one of those songs you went, Jesus Christ, if Van Halen is doing this, it must be okay. What was the reaction like when Jump first came out, when your diehard fans said, you guys are fags, you're playing disco music? Right.
Well, you know what? It was kind of a different thing for us. In fact, Roth, he was telling Eddie, hey, you know, you're a guitar hero, whatever. You know, you're not supposed to be playing keyboard. You're supposed to be playing guitar. But you know, we figured, hey, it wasn't a conscious thing. We just, Ed was messing around. He's always played keyboards, and he just came up with it. And like anything, even playing in the clubs, playing other people's music or whatever, we always so-called Van Halenized it. You know, so it was always us, whether it was the OJs, you know, or whatever we were playing, because we played all that stuff in the clubs. And to hear it for the first time, though, it was great because, you know, it was the first time we'd ever done anything keyboard oriented like that, and everybody really loved it.
And it's amazing the process that, you know, when you're talking about, you discover stuff. So the process of you guys making these albums, you would throw some different things up and see what would stick to the wall. I mean, mm-hmm. would you all be contributors? Would you ever be able to throw in all your own ideas on it?
Yeah, everybody was able to do whatever they wanted, you know.
See, when I hear that, I just say, man, creatively, mm-hmm. if that was, that's where I would think there would be a breakdown in relationships, and with everybody being able to contribute, I would think it would be easy to get everybody back together. I'm just like every fan that I would love to see you guys out and about, and I sure hope it happens.
What is your favorite song to play? What is your favorite Van Halen song to play?
My favorite Van Halen song to play?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You know what? Probably with the last couple of tours with Hagar, I always liked playing Seventh Seal.
Oh, I like
We opened up that after the album came out, and it was such a strong opening.
A great song. God damn, that's
and
good.
Michael, if I may ask you, I would feel I wasn't doing my duty if I didn't ask this question. And remember, this is a family radio broadcast. But
okay.
Could you possibly share with us, in your years of touring with Van Halen, what was the most unusual groupie story throwing herself at you? I know it had to happen. Yeah, you want to? You can give us numbers. You can give us an isolated story. I'd love to hear something.
Oh, my God. See, I've been married 26 years, so maybe at this point, I don't want
Or maybe it happened before you got married.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? Have somebody, you know, ask me the question over my website.
How about this? How about a groupie story with an unnamed other member of the band.
Well,
that
how about
saw.
This? It's just really simple. Did you ever, before you were married, did you ever, like, cover a chick's body with coke and then snort it all up, leading in all the way to her private area?
No, but it always looked. I like to watch a lot, though.
Yeah. Okay, we're not going to get that out of you.
When you're out with Sammy Hagar, who we're big fans of as well, do you
nice guy, very nice guy.
I know you do some of Sammy's material as well. I would love to hear you play like on Sammy's song. Your Love Is Driving Me Crazy.
Okay.
That when that song came out, that was a Sammy Hagar solo record,
yeah.
And at the time sounded to me like it had influence of Van Halen at the time when he was working on his own.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? That's one of the few songs that we don't do because we do quite a bit of the early stuff. You know, maybe I'll run that one by him.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love
okay.
That.
So you're sitting there. We're not sure where the Van Halen tour situation is. You know, what are you doing musically right
well,
now?
What do you mean,
obviously,
Van Halen tour situation. They're going out on tour.
But I mean, now that we know what it is what I meant to say. What do you do creatively when you're in between? You know, do you have any projects that you're working on right now?
You know what? I had been lately just playing on, guesting on some friends stuff like that. You know,
right.
Not any really high profile stuff. And Sammy and I have been talking about we're going to be doing some writing together.
Good.
Here we've been talking a lot about that, and you know. That's it. That and watching the grass grow.
Oh,
right.
You,
watching
listen.
My kids grow.
All right, you and Sammy. You
good
and
family
Sammy,
man. That's your hobby. That's
you, you and Sammy will make a good team. You know, you're good at background vocals as well. I always like that when you would chime in, you know, with your ha.
We actually have quite a few people that come down and jam. Like when I'm down in Cabo San Lucas, you know, we jam down at the club down there. And, I mean, we had, like, this last past year, we had Chad Smith, drummer from the Chili Peppers, down there.
Oh,
and
that
Chad,
had to be fun.
And Chad's really into doing a project, and so you never know. Hagar's the kind of guy, like, we start on something, like, a few years ago, we had a thing going, I don't know if you'd heard about it, with Neil Sean from Journey.
Yeah.
And we actually, him and his drummer, Dean Casanova, who was a phenomenal drummer, and we actually worked up some songs, and we had a working title, or a name for the band, Planet Us. And then, you know, Sammy, he's like one of these guys, though. This guy can't sit still for a second.
He's got a lot of stuff going.
If you ask his wife, that's the one thing she's pissed about. She goes, that guy will not sit still or relax for a second. You know, as soon as you go, okay, yeah, we're going to do this project, and all of a sudden, there he goes that way. Hey, Sam, you know. We're gearing up to do something here.
Would you ever consider a project with Ross Valerie from Journey?
Myself?
Yeah.
Dueling bass players?
Yeah, dueling bass players.
I only mentioned because he's really
you know,
got...
I was in a band, you know, way before Van Halen's time where we tried two drummers because, you know, there was a time where everybody, like Allman Brothers, everybody
yeah, had the
two
drummers. Right.
It's like, oh, my God, that's like, you know, the Outlaws who they got 40 guitar players up there, 38 specialists. Like, that's why I worked so well with Van Halen because you got one guitar player who actually, you know, he sounds like 10 guitar players at once on stage, and so you don't need all the extra stuff.
Well, like on Why Can't This Be Love, the beginning of that song, which is and I hear the synthesizers or whatever it is, and I hear the wow, but then I hear you coming in strong with the bum 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 bum.
Right.
If I could just ask you, it sounds like a jock sniffing question. How great is it at that moment to hit that chord? Because I play Guitar Hero.
All right. You know what? I've gotten into a bit of that. I got a couple of teenage daughters, you know.
Do you follow? Can you follow along to your own Guitar Hero?
Yeah, I do pretty well.
There you
go. You know
what?
I don't have 25 hours in the day like my kids do to play it. So,
you know, seriously, Guitar Hero question for you, though. As, you know, somebody that's seen the game and somebody who's a professional musician, can Guitar Hero, can playing the game, can that in any way help people develop, a skill as far as being a real guitar player or a bass?
You know what? It can help a skill, like a timing skill.
Right. Okay.
I think in that sense it can, but there's even some of the stuff that I play that the way some of the chord changes are, it's not where you actually change, and
okay.
I think that's just because of the way the game is constructed. Uh-huh. But I feel, I guess, for a sense of timing, you know,
yeah.
A lot of my daughter's friends that actually play instruments or they're in bands and stuff like that, they all play Guitar Hero.
Everybody does.
Now your last thing I'll ask, they're saying you got to go. How do your kids, they know Van Halen, they know you, have they seen the bottle, they've seen everything, what do they think of Daddy the Rock Star?
Oh my God, yeah, well they've kind of seen almost too much.
Yeah.
my oldest daughter, she's 22 years old and she was born right before Hagar joined the band, and so she was on the road right from day one with that. My younger daughter, she just turned 15, so she was really kind of like, you know, kind of towards the tail end and after everything was happening with Roth or whatever. But, you know, that she looks back at all the old videos now. She's laughing at me the other day. She goes, Dad, I was showing all my friends this Pretty Woman video. They were all laughing. And I'm thinking, well, I guess let's break them out. I might as well show you just exactly what
absolutely.
How silly Dad was in the 70s and 80s.
You did wear some of those MC Hammer pants every once in a while. Some of those striped zebra pants. Listen,
hey, as much as you try not to follow any trends, and Van Halen, you know, we never did. You know, we always wore what we wanted to. There still are some of those photos that you'd rather just stay put away in the photo album.
Oh, good luck with the upcoming tour. I know you're going to have a good time.
Hey, thanks a lot. No, we got a great show together. I actually put a thing together that I'm calling Matt Anthony Express with his Sammy's guitarist Vic and this other drummer, J.D., who's a great drummer. And we're doing a bunch of old Van Halen stuff, and I'm lead singing it to start the show off.
Oh, very cool.
Love to hear it. Yeah, and it's not just because they're going out. I mean, I started doing this at the beginning of the year, and we had so much fun doing it that I thought, hey, let's open the tour with it. So
awesome.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Nice talking to you, Michael. We really respect you.
Hey, good talking to you guys, man.
All right, big fan. Thank you. Bye-bye. See you later.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Remarkable how similar he is in personality to Hagar.
Yeah.
Very, I can see why those guys would get along. You know, they're kind of like, hey, because really wasn't that Sammy's attitude, kind of? Uh-huh. I think, really, you can look at the problems with Van Halen, and if you know the principles.
The problems with Van Halen are multifold.
I think my big Eddie and Mr. Roth, I think, caused some of the problems there.
Yeah, and Eddie's got that whole thing that he wants Wolfgang in the band, and then I read online that Sammy said, it's okay, you have your kid in the band, and he said, no, I don't want Michael in the band, and you're right, Sammy Hagar said, hey, listen, I don't care, let him come out and do half the show with David Lee Roth, then do half the show with me, then we'll all come out at the end together, we'll do like Jamie's Crying Together or something
get
like
them
that.
Get every one of them on stage.
All of them,
there's room, there really is.
It'll work.
Anyway, kick a little ass. Thank you, Michael Anthony.
Don't you get the impression that Mr. Anthony is cool just cashing the checks, though?
Oh, sure.
Because they're out all promoting the records that he's still going to get the money for.
That's all right, man. No problem. And sorry about the beep beeps there, the delays, but he was feeling very comfortable and just dropped the S-bomb three or four times.
Would that it wouldn't be a word we had to delete.
How about that? Well, SHI Thursday. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.